T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In 2020, you look for something to do, anything to do. So I spent most of the summer riding motorcycles, taking rides, and then I realized I could, it's time to go back again and go to the Evel Knievel Museum in Topeka. So Mike Patterson up there, who's incredibly nice, and Bob and I went up there and rolled through it again, and you just take your time. You know, I watch the documentaries, and then go spend, you know, if you really want to read about stuff, it take you an hour and a half, 2 hours to go through the museum. And it's got everything. The centerpiece, depending on who you are, the big red, the semi that was pretty magical. Like, it was way too big. You weren't even supposed to have it on the interstate. Or the Wembley Stadium helmet, or the Caesar's Palace helmet, or the toys when you were a kid, or the videos, or the motorcycles. And you see how rudimentary and old school and heavy and underpowered they were. And just his story is so much better even than just what we knew as kids about being this incredible daredevil and this fearless guy who was an incredible P.T. Barnum promoter. But his story is so great and hard, and some of it's sad and some of it's fantastic. All of it is entertaining. And he was born, like, you know, when somebody's born to do something and it's just their circumstances take them there, and I don't even think they haven't had any control over it. You just get pulled into it. That was Evel Knievel, man.
Our next guest is the eldest son of the greatest daredevil of all time and the last true American outlaw, the late great Evel Knievel, who over the course of his career, thrilled the world with motorcycle jumps from Caesar's Palace to Wembley Stadium and the Snake River Canyon. And today, he's here to talk about the reissue of the legendary Evel Knievel stunt cycle toy, available at evelknieveltoys.com. Please welcome, Kelly Knievel.
Mr. Kelly Knievel. Hey, man, how you been?
Listen, that was a great story. You should represent the Evel Knievel brand.
Listen, you're not going to find a bigger fan.
No kidding.
You're not. I just...
Because, you're great.
Because, you know, his dad, your dad, and you know this, but I like sharing it with people. Like, you know, it sucks. His parents dumped him. And your grandparents raised him, or I guess your great-grandparents. And he was a kid in a little town who was trying to figure out his way, and he knew he didn't want to get stuck there, I think. So he just tried everything, and he went after everything, and he was fearless. And sometimes the law, I didn't realize till recently that he had started a hunter's guide, a company that guaranteed you a kill of a great elk, but then they found out he was going up to Yellowstone.
No. Okay, now what's your theory again about his childhood?
That his mom and dad got divorced and then dumped him and his brother, right?
No, what kind of theory are you talking about?
Is that not true, that his grandparents raised him?
What are you adding, some tragedy to the story? Or
hold on, because that's what I've always believed. Didn't his mom and dad get divorced and then they left and left him there to be raised by his grandparents? Is that not? Wrong?
I don't know if left is the correct word.
Okay, all right. Well, okay. That's what I got out of it. So I'm adding that word, and that's my bad. But I thought that was true. To me, that's sad. Like, to me, that's a guy, because I look at him later in life, and I see how he went, and I go, that dude wants love.
I don't remember my dad being sad ever.
Well, yeah, right.
Dad would not be a word that right. I would describe my dad as.
But you don't think that terrible case of like, I'm going to be the greatest, I'm going to be the farthest, I'm going to be the best no matter what, isn't trying to get that, I don't know, that acceptance or that love that you need as a kid?
No.
No? No? To me, that's when I see that, because he's incredible, you know. But your old man, like...
He may be incredible, but it doesn't stem from any childhood trauma. He was just born that way.
Yeah. there's so many, Kelly, those the stories I really do love. And of course, all the records, everything he managed
you
to do.
You should go on Evel Knievel's social media and keep up with us. I mean, we have a great social media site. We got Throwback Thursday, Daredevil Friday, Saturday Toy Day, Sunday Funny Day. Our social media is really good.
Yeah, I will. Because I was
like,
just...
there's a picture. We got a picture up today. One of my dad's childhood heroes was Joe Louis. He loved Joe Louis. So he brought him to Butte, Montana in the 70s to play in a golf tournament. We got a picture of my dad and Joe Louis up on social media
wow.
today.
That's great. By the way, you're no punk at golfing.
No, I'm a really good golfer.
You are.
I mean, I play a lot of golf.
I read it. See?
But big deal. We're not here to talk about my golf game. Let's talk about
golf. Well, you're old man, because I remember I was talking to him one time, and he was in Kansas City. He was talking about coming in here to play golf all the time, and he started rattling off all these guys who are all made, like all family. But, you know, I was like, hey, we got to stop talking about these guys, Evel. Like, I know they're your friends, but I got to live here. We can't talk about them anymore. He had
a couple of friends in Kansas City that my dad liked everybody, you know. He was kind of like Frank Sinatra. He had all kinds of friends.
Yeah. Well, and he was again, I was just at the museum in 2020, there's nothing to do, right? So you look for things, and all of a sudden it dawned on me I hadn't been to the museum in a year, so jumped on a bike with Bob, and we rode out there, and it's just every time you go, it's new again. There's so many great things. And Mike out there did a great job. All you guys did an incredible job with that museum. It is world class. And now I know that it's going to extend into Vegas. You guys got a new museum going there.
Well, we just about had the deal signed, and until this coronavirus hit, and it's been devastating for the state of Nevada. I mean, we've got a Democrat governor. Both houses of the legislature are Democrats, so he's got a super majority. I mean, there wasn't one single fan in the stands at the first Raiders game last night. Nevada's got the highest unemployment rate in the nation. It's just, they're just devastating the state of Nevada. It's awful.
Yeah. Now, and here's what I think now. Look, science is real, and I know that this is how it is. But we're all responsible for ourselves. We're
this
adults
is another
now.
Thing that you and I are not qualified to talk about.
Well, my point was, Kelly, so you know, my point is that as an adult, look, I have the choice. I can go out and go to a crowd or not go to a crowd. They shouldn't be, you know, I do believe we should have sports like Kansas City. We had 16,000 people in the stands. You know, I may not go get in a crowd, but I don't believe I would stop anybody else from going.
Unfortunately, our governor says no, so that's the way it is.
Yeah. So do you think this is going to ever get done?
Our museum is definitely going to get done.
Good.
This will pass, and sooner or later, everybody will get back on the track and come to their senses, and we'll be bigger and better than ever.
Tell me this. What do you have that we haven't seen yet? Because obviously there's going to be more.
Everything I own has never been seen by anyone. Yeah. I've got all my dad's personal effects, and... I mean, I've got the Sky Cycle that went into the Snake River Canyon that he was actually in, and all his motorcycles and wheelie car. Actually, we did put the wheelie car on Vegas Rat Rod. It's a dragster that does wheelies.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad had this motorcycle made. He had a jet engine put on for lack of a better word, I'm going to call it a tricycle. And then he sat on the jet engine.
What a terrible idea.
No kidding.
Oh.
And then rode it right. I mean, it sounded like there was a 747 in the stadium when my dad used to fire that thing up. It was just really cool.
You and your dad, and you know, I've told you this. Your dad yelled at me once in Sturgis because I interviewed him. He was endorsing a company that was a vest you'd put on and it attached to the motorcycle. And if you became separated, it supposedly inflated. And I made the mistake of saying evil. It was the first time we met. I go, do you think this will work? And dude, he squinted at me. He narrowed those eyes and he goes, do you think I'd be talking about it if it doesn't work? And he scared me to goddamn death at that moment. I mean, I thought, like
he told my wife one time, my wife saw this Dr. Pepper commercial he did, and she looked at him and she said, did you get paid for that? And he looked at me and said, what, you married this dumb broad?
Dude, that was him. Like, I loved him. You know, he showed up at Rick Worth's dealership, and he was towing the little mini museum and had his little dogs in him, and so we all got to spend time with him, and it was just, he was grumpy and sweet and funny, and
yeah, he had a big personality. Now, we've got a new movie coming out. This is a big Australian film company is putting together a major Evel Knievel movie, and I mean, there's been five or six documentaries, or more than five or six, probably eight or nine documentaries done on my dad, but there's no one's really got really the intricacies of his personality, and I mean, that's really the story of Evel Knievel
sure.
I mean, his personality could span from the biggest things to the smallest things, and that was really what made him so interesting, I think.
Yes, and that's what I was saying at the beginning of this conversation. Like, I thought where he came from, the little town, getting in trouble with the police.
I mean, think about that. Seriously, this is a guy who, I mean, it's not like he went into sports. It's not like he had a path to follow.
Right.
He blazed out his own path, and in the span of 5 or 6 years, he became literally one of the most famous people in the world. I mean, that just took some imagination and chutzpah, you know?
Without a doubt. We all need a hero, which we love even more. We love a guy who's unapologetic about, I want the finest things, the fastest cars, the jets, the jewelry, the women, the booze. And we love that because we all want to be that. We all want to be fearless. We all wanted to be Evel Knievel as a kid. And when we grew up, we want to be more like him. You just do.
Yeah, well, he certainly wasn't politically correct. And I think that's part of why he was so successful.
Sure. Sure, man. He, you know, all the attempts, and this is one of the things I love about Evel and what I've read about it, is he was determined to make his life work, whether it be selling insurance policy to mental patients, to having a security company, to he had an arm wrestling thing for a while when he was trying to sell Japanese bikes, right? Is it true that he jumped a crate of snakes and actually clipped the snakes?
That was his first jump he did, and it was a Honda dealership in Moses Lake, Washington, and he just came up with that on his own. That's kind of what got him started in the business, basically.
That's so good. He was just, he had to get there. And you know, the Wembley, he knew he couldn't make Wembley, but all those people came to see it, and there was no way. And there's, man, we're never going to see another one.
If you watch that clip of Wembley, you can see when he's up at the top of the ramp, he does the funniest thing. He's up at the top of the ramp, and it's his last run, and he's going to go jump. And he knows he's not going to make it, and he's moving his motorcycle around, and he looks over, and there's a little British kid there. He must be 10 or 11 years old with red hair, and he's 5 feet away from my dad up at the top, you know, because he started in the ski jump ramp in the middle of the crowd, and he looks over at the kid, and he gives him a thumbs up. And then he gets crazy. Right back to business. It really is a great clip.
Yeah. Dude, I only knew your dad, you know, fleetingly. I think it's a combination of what you know and what you project them to what you want them to be. You want him to be the guy who never backed away from a fight but was always nice to a kid. You know, that's the legend, right?
I don't know how he did it. I mean, I couldn't have done it. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he put himself together, kept himself in front of the public, was able to raise his family and do things with his kids and drag us around and do it all from Butte, Montana, with no helpers and no maids and no managers, and it just all on his own. It is really amazing.
So did I tell you the last time I found an estate sale from Butte, Montana? They had sold these. The school had a rodeo. They didn't have any money for trophies, and this was in 74, I believe. And he, I think it's 70. I'll have to go back and look at it. But he donated the trophies, but to the side of the trophy, it's a third place trophy. It says the name of the school, the rodeo, third place, and then it says donated by Evel Knievel, and it's got a little motorcycle to the right, and I've got that at my house now. And it came with a little letter of providence. I called the lady, and she goes, yeah, my brother's got this.
Call Christie's and see if you could auction that off, and you can put your radio job on.
No, I would never. Listen, I would never sell it. Never in a million. You know, I have a signed jumpsuit, you know, and I've got a bobblehead he signed for me.
I'll throw it in your coffin. How's that?
Yeah, you know what? That's the one thing we haven't seen yet is we've never marketed an Evel Knievel coffin, and there should be Evel Knievel coffins.
That's a funny idea.
Dude, it's just, it's too good. It's I this stuff I love. I can't wait to see.
Funny.
By the way, who can play Evel Knievel? Who's going to be cast as Evel?
Boy, I don't know. I like Matthew McConaughey the best because he was friends with my dad.
He gave your father's eulogy.
And he's kind of out there. Matthew McConaughey is kind of out there, so he just might be able to pull it off. But the intricacies of Evel Knievel, first they have to be communicated. Then the actor has to be able to pull it off. So I don't know. We'll see.
But you know what? I think you're 100% right because he saw it. He knew it. And I'm sure he saw all of it, you know, or saw the swing in personality. One time, your dad was late getting to an
Matthew
interview.
Yeah, Matthew only knew my dad when he was older. He didn't know him when he was younger. I mean, when my dad was younger, he was like he was a freight train. There was no stopping the guy.
Dude, and I'm sure you spent your childhood in it, but, you know, when they redid the big red truck, the semi that's at the museum, Mike brought me into it, opened the door, and we sat inside it. And I was just in love with the Elvis nature of it all. The opulence of the time, but then the importance on the bar right in the middle, the seating, the way the cab looks, everything. Like, it's pure Americana.
Yeah, we used to drive from one end of the country to the other in that baby.
Yeah.
And my dad went through a couple of them before he ended up with his deal with Mack Truck, and we used to drive around in those old ones too, and yeah, that new one's neat. I'm glad they restored it. People should see it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's really great. And now, are you guys going to trade stuff and kind of cycle through and use both locations in terms of
we're going to keep some stuff in Topeka, and the one in Las Vegas is going to be the Evel Knievel Hall of Fame and Entertainment Center. And we're going to incorporate some of the extreme sports guys into there. And then we've got some new Pixar rides coming up where people can go in and actually feel like they're jumping. And
Excellent.
Then we're going to have entertainment there, sort of like Ace Cafe style.
Nice.
So it's going to be a little, it's just not going to be a static museum like the one in Topeka. It'll have other adventures
sure.
incorporated into it.
Vegas style, which your old man was, Vegas was Evel and Evel was Vegas.
Oh, he loved Las Vegas, for crying out loud. He loved the personalities in Las Vegas, and he loved Las. He liked to gamble, and he liked to play golf, and yeah, he loved Las Vegas.
I'm fighting with myself about buying one of those used Evel Knievel slot machines.
I would say buy one because there's not many effective. I don't even know if any are for sale.
I found a couple.
You can find one.
Yeah.
Well, if you can find one that's in working condition, that'll be a good opportunity.
You know, I've
I mean,
got
seriously. Who are we still talking about?
Of course.
Years later.
Of course.
If you walk into McCarran Airport right now, and you go to the baggage claim, there's a big mural in there that represents Las Vegas. You know, the only person that's on that mural is a picture of Evel Knievel. Everything else is all the hotels in Las Vegas and everything that goes on in Las Vegas. The only person that's on that mural is Evel Knievel.
I love it. I love it, man. It's dude, there's so much great stuff about your old man.
Yeah, and if you watch the Raiders game last night, they had a big photo on the screen of Evil in midair over Caesar's Palace. That was pretty cool, too.
Every time I go to Vegas, I go stand by where the fountain, you know, it's reconfigured a bit now, but I go stand where you can see where it was, and I just think about it, and I go, my God, how did he ever, like, insanity to go, I'm going to get this done somehow, some way. I'm going to call in as different people. I'm going to keep bugging this guy. I'm going to mispronounce my own name until they finally reach out, and then I'm going to tell him I'd love to do it. And then, is it true that when he did that, he took out a bunch of accident policies, like 10 of them, for insurance, but you can only supposedly have one?
Yeah, he had to cancel them all when he was done. He did it, really, so his buddy could make a bunch of money at the insurance company. He didn't think he was going to crash. Right. He had a friend at the insurance company that he wanted to make a bunch of commissions.
See, this is the thing. This is the evil story.
You know what my dad used to say? He used to say, hey, listen, don't ever go into business with anyone that doesn't have at least a little larceny in them.
Absolutely.
Because if they don't, they're too stupid to make any money.
Kelly, I can't wait till this thing is done. Hey, I don't know if I told you this. I've got an Evel Knievel, the home version of the arcade pinball without the coin box on it.
Yeah.
It's in my living room right now. Yeah. A 100% working. I found it for $400.
And what about the new toy? You know, we re-released the new toy.
Yes, Mike Patton gave me one. Mike Patterson gave me one. He has them at the museum.
Yep, it's exactly like the old toy. Except for we've improved it, like it's 99% the old toy. We just had to update a few things, like the plastic, so the handlebars don't break and that kind of stuff. And that's selling really good.
Oh.
And as a matter of fact, Disney, with that new movie, that Toy Story movie, where they knocked off the Evel Knievel toy, they're going to have to answer for that.
Oh, yeah, because that's clearly the Evel Knievel toy. Clearly.
Oh, it's clearly Evel Knievel toy. Yeah, my dad used to say he didn't break his bones and spill his blood so other people could make a bunch of money.
Dude, it's so good. It's stuff like, and your dad had such a great thought, like the album he made, which is basically, it's like spoken word, his thoughts, like his very serious thoughts. I've got that album sitting in the case.
Now, he didn't make that album. Somebody else made that album.
But where was the audio from?
He couldn't actually sing, you know.
Right. Well, no. When you hear it, you're like,
singing,
oh.
Singing and acting was not in his forte.
But did he love the movie that they did?
The Viva Knievel movie?
Yeah.
I think he wished he could have acted in it, but he's not an actor.
Right.
So he had no acting ability because he was just so real with everything he did. And George Hamilton says he didn't like it because he didn't want other people playing him and becoming famous off of things that he did.
Yeah.
Which there's probably an element of truth to that.
Sure. But you know what? It only went to make the legend even bigger. You know, your dad. Well, I'm preaching to the choir. You know, but as I got to be older and I got to be in this job and I got to meet him in Sturgis and I got to talk to him on the phone and then meet him with Rick Worth and go ride motorcycles. And in these moments, like to me, I don't get nervous around people, but around your dad, he made me extremely. You're 9 years old. You just immediately go back to being 9 years old.
Yeah, you couldn't do anything stupid around my dad. He'd call you on it. But he'd have a twinkle in his eye.
Okay, I'm going to tell you one last thing, just because you'll enjoy it. So he missed an interview, and when he pulled up to Rick's place with his mini museum and the little dogs, and he was late about 30 minutes, when he got on the phone, he said, sorry, Johnny, I was jogging up and down North Oak Traffic Way. Yeah, and we both knew he wasn't jogging. And so we go.
He used to say the show don't start till I get there. So don't worry about it.
So I go up in the afternoon to see him to do the autograph at Worth on North Oak. And I go back in the shop where everybody's around. And I walk back there and I go up to your dad. And I'm telling him, Evel, I was the guy who interviewed you this morning on the radio. All he heard was radio. And he looked at, and he goes, did you hear what I told that a-hole this morning? And the whole place gets quiet. And I go, I did. And he was just, it was the greatest thing ever. I'll always cherish that.
Yeah, he's funny. He was a funny man. Sarcastic, funny man. It was all in good fun.
Kelly, dude, good to hear your voice, man. And I can't wait for this to... I'll be there as soon as you guys open that grand opening. If you think for a second I won't fly there and bug you for a ticket, I will be there when this opens.
Okay, get on the social media. I'm telling you, we have great social media. We got Throwback Thursday.
Okay.
And we got Daredevil Friday, which is all kinds of Daredevil feats. And we got Saturday Toy Day. You can't believe the things that people are doing with this toy. I mean, there's we get thousands of videos from people who are showing us what they're doing with the toy. The stuff they do with the toy is phenomenal.
That's awesome.
And then we got Sunday Funny Day.
Good.
So we got great social media. So make sure you check it out every day.
I will. Kelly, I appreciate you hanging with us. I know it's early in Vegas, man, but again, always good to hear your voice.
All right, thanks.
All right, brother. Bye. By the way, just like Evel Knievel, he started rough, and then he got. And then it's, I'm telling you, it's exactly the same as meeting him. It's they even look the same.
Buster.
By the way, his parents never came back. For the record, if you Google it and look, I'm telling you, like, there's nothing that says they ever came back again. Like, there's no.
Sometimes there's, that's a good thing.
No. And I'm not disputing what Kelly said, but I was surprised because everything I've ever read. Says Evel Knievel's parents got divorced and both decided they wanted a fresh start and they left the kids with grandma and grandpa. And nothing, there's never any more information. Like, and again, I'm certainly not correcting the guy whose father never came back. Well, I imagine once he was famous, they came back. But,
of course.
You know, but he did a lot of crazy stuff. Like, and so whether or not it's true with the Evel Knievel. Hold on. I'm trying to get back to this because I want to read this correctly. This is what it says on the New World Encyclopedia. We talked about it. So he went on to do, it was called the Sure Kill Guide Service. They say, guarantee that if a hunter signed up with his service and paid his fee, they would get a big game animal they wanted or he would refund their money. Business was brisk until game wardens realized he was taking his clients into Yellowstone National Park to find it. That's what this says. I'd never heard it before, but I read it. I was like, well, it doesn't seem impossible.
He pulled off impossible.
He did sell life insurance to mental patients, that's for sure. Like, we know that.
So his buddy could get commission.
Well, no. That was...
That was the car lot, wasn't it?
No. That was when he was still before he became a stunt guy. Mm-hmm. Then, when the story goes, when he jumped Caesar's Palace, he took out 10 with his buddy.
That's right. Okay.
Now, when the company found out, this is what I read, and so Kelly would know, I wouldn't know, but the way I learned it was, so they realized, if I have an accident, it's going to pay out. This guy's going to commission, he's doing that, but also there's this, and then when he did crash, the company's like, first of all, you can only have one policy, you can't have 10, and we're not paying. He's like, I'll sue your ass off. Then they're like, well, this guy's fired. And so the way it reads is he canceled 9 of them, and they said, we'll reinstate this guy as an agent, and we'll pay you for the one. How it really played out, I don't know. But like you said, got to have a little larceny in your heart.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.